Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're recording here on Friday night and you are not going to believe this. Okay? We get this email about Kevin, and you're going to read this update in your for your information in the bulletin. And here's Kevin sitting here tonight, and Kevin and Trisha are both here to record this. So I stand in awe, and it's just wonderful that you're here tonight. And so we're very, very thankful. It's times like this when the scripture that says how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And to see that, Kevin, we're just thankful that you're here, and this is serious, but it's not any more serious than that you're able to be here. So we're very thankful for that. We also have congratulations and God's blessings on some birthdays this week. We have Mina Trashler. She has a birthday on Sunday, and Helen Zylstra on Tuesday. Adri Vanderlei on Wednesday, Catherine Bradley on Wednesday as well, and Ann Divestein on Friday. We worship a God who just loves us so, and the God of life and God of love, God of life, God of living, and we just celebrate with you on this wonderful day that you're going to have with your family. Let us come to God in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Spirit that testifies to us that we are your children, that through the Spirit we can approach you in confidence as our compassionate Father. Thank you, O God, that as co-heirs with Christ, we share in his glory. Comfort us with the knowledge that your Spirit helps restore us in our weakness, intercedes for us according to your will, thanking you for giving us your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, the Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. And this morning, God greets us with these words: in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I would invite you to please join with me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this day of Pentecost, we remember Christ's great promise to us before he ascended from earth, and he said to his disciples, "You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea to the ends of the earth." Thank you, Father. Thank you for this place to gather, and your Spirit who gathers us. May we accept your gift with wisdom and grace and hope and fearlessness. Give us strength and wisdom to act on your will. And it is this day, Father, we marvel the possibilities of the Holy Spirit here with us. For in the last days, says the prophet Joel, the Lord will show wonders in heavens and signs on earth below. Blood, fire, smoke, a darkened sun, and a moon turned to blood. God Almighty, we are so humbled in your awesome presence. We're reminded of our weaknesses, our insignificance, and ashamed. We pray for mercy. But on this day, we remember the sacrifice that made this gift possible. The perfect lamb was slain, the blood that was spilled, the curtain that was torn in two. And we remember the stone that was rolled away. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise be, Father. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and holy is your precious Spirit. For we were lost in the depths, but you found us, you invite us to your table, and now we are bearers of your holy name. And on this day, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit within us, we put aside our grievances. We reach out to those around us, and we lift up with our talents and our gifts, and we ask to be filled, then poured out, and we are no longer satisfied with a life not lived abundantly. Scripture says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people, your sons and daughters, and they will prophesy. The young will see visions, the old they will have dreams. I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and you will prophesy." Lord, receive your gift with patient anticipation. Make us the hands and feet of your invisible Spirit. And like your Spirit, make us invisible. so that the light of Christ will shine through us. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, give us the ability to speak not in languages of hate or greed, complacency or discontent, but may it be of love and mercy and kindness, in generosity and benevolence and humility and patience, and in truthful words of encouragement. On this day of Pentecost, may the moving of your Spirit not to be us as a chasing of the wind, but a warm breeze of hope. May the church act as one body to bring love and joy, your holy truth, to every generation and people. And may we also have wisdom to receive these things graciously. We gather as your people, O God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet we come with needs to lay on the altar. Father, we pray this morning as we continue to navigate through these COVID times. Pray for wisdom from our government as they encourage everyone to get vaccinated. Help us to be patient, O God, as we seek to reopen and not fall back to another lockdown. We thank you, O God, for all our frontline workers who have given so much. Bless them, sustain them. Father, we pray this morning for a world that is reeling under COVID struggles, and yet as much we pray for peace, Father, for the war that continues in Israel. Father, we pray for peace, not only for them, but for all of us in our lives, in our homes, in our days, in the country, and in the world that you have given to us. Father, we lift up to you also this morning countries that are reeling with untold numbers of COVID. Father, I pray, O God, that the leaders of the world will come together and be able to share, be able to provide, be able to reach out and be the hands and feet of Christ and get everyone vaccinated. Praise, glory, and honor, Father. Thanks be to the Father and to Christ Jesus and to the Holy Spirit as we come together praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have been forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you to turn with me this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday. And I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. We will be reading from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 to 13. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 13. Let us pray. Lord God of heaven and earth, pour out on us the abundant gifts of the Holy Spirit. May the work begun by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost continue in us as we hear your word and do your will. Amen. The word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. Vance Havner once made this statement. He said, "We're not going to move the world by criticism, nor by conformity, but by the combination within it of the lives ignited by the Spirit of God." The early church had none of those things that we think are so essential for success today. I think so often churches call into their denominational offices and they say, "What is it that we can do to build the church, get people to come, bring people in on Sunday mornings, have programs throughout the week?" Because there's so often we look at things and we think what's so essential for success today for a growing church is that we have buildings and that we have money and political influence, social status, and yet the church won multitudes for Christ and saw many churches established throughout the Roman world. Why? It was because the church had the power of the Holy Spirit energizing its ministries. These were people who were ignited by the Spirit of God. That same power of the Holy Spirit is available for us today to make us more effective witnesses for Christ. But the better we understand the working of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the better then we will be able to relate to Him and experience His power. The ministry of the Spirit is to glorify Christ in life and the witness of a believer. John 16:14. And that is what is important. Revivals are a word that we really don't talk about much anymore. And I don't know whether my prayer is that we will talk revival once COVID's over and people start to make their way back to church. And people who looked at life and thought their life was full with things and realized there's a great big hole in their life. And that's what God has called us to be part of, to fill. I think so often we do not spend enough time in prayer as we go through the motions. Sam Shoemaker once wrote, "Think of God in His foraging, invading, energizing, vitalizing, renewing, enlightening, convicting, and strengthening aspects, and we shall come near the Holy Spirit." The work of God flourishes in churches that place a high priority on prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. The setting for this passage is in the upper room in the house of Jerusalem. The disciples had just returned from the Mount of Olives after witnessing the ascension of Jesus. They gather in the room. There's 11 disciples plus Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus' brothers and other workmen who were followers of Jesus. Their purpose was with one accord, prayer and supplication. You see, they were waiting for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. But understand this point. The power of the Holy Spirit did not indwell in believers of the Old Testament as He does in the New Testament. Acts 1 and 2 illustrate the contrast between the two testaments. You see, Acts 1, the disciples were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, as we've read this morning, He comes. In Acts 1, they were equipped, and in Acts 2, we see that they are empowered. In Acts 1, they were held back. Acts 2, they were sent out. The Holy Spirit marks the difference between the two testaments. And today, I'd like to focus on what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 believers gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. The coming of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, believers used to sights and sounds of being associated with the presence of God. Thunder, lightning, voices. In that way, Pentecost for those in that upper room would not be a disappointment. Pentecost. Penta means 50. It's the name given to the Jewish festival of weeks. It's also called the Festival of Harvest, one of the three great festivals that are celebrated in Jerusalem. This feast occurs 50 days after the Passover, and it was the feast at which Jesus was crucified. We see this in Leviticus 23, 15, and 16. Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims from all over the Mediterranean and Middle Eastern region. Pentecost had fully come in verse 1, chapter 2. 120 disciples were gathered together in the upper room, steadfastly maintaining their unity in prayer and waiting the gifting of the Spirit. Though the disciples were expecting the coming of the Spirit, they must have been surprised because Luke writes it occurred suddenly. The upper room was filled with a sound like a blowing of a violent wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. This was not the same sound that we would associate with a strong natural wind. It was the sound of the power of God. In the biblical Greek, the word for spirit and wind are the same, pneuma. The context determines whether it should be translated as spirit or wind or breath. But it's in John 3:8, Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to the wind, using the same Greek word for both. One commentator discovered an interesting parallel between the beginning of man and the beginning of church. God had to breathe the wind or breath of life into both to animate them and give them both life. The sound of the mighty rushing wind served two purposes. First, it would definitely get the disciples' attention that to let them know that their waiting was over. God was on the move. The second sound would have captured their attention of the pilgrims in Jerusalem for the feast, for the very least of those had gathered in the same area where the disciples were. Scripture says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. The text would suggest that it's not literal flames of fire, but it would be a metaphor of how the Holy Spirit appeared in the upper room. Everyone in the upper room was baptized by the Holy Spirit at once into the spiritual body of believers. That, brothers and sisters of Christ, is the church. Pentecost is the birthday of the church, the day it was baptized by the Holy Spirit. The disciples had believed in Christ previously, but they had not been baptized by the Holy Spirit because Christ had not ascended into heaven yet. But after he did, the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the church. The group of people who had identified themselves with Jesus. The baptism of the Spirit is how the Spirit binds all believers together, establishing an invisible union among them and around them, and making them identifiable to one another by the same Spirit dwelling in each. If you don't believe that is true, meet one of your congregants out on the street somewhere or in a store somewhere when we are allowed to open up, and the conversation will turn and say, well, I'll see you in church on Sunday, or it's great to see you. We see how that worked at the early church, that invisible union around and among them, and it is alive and well in the church today to those who gather to worship God on Sunday. Peter clarifies in Acts 11:15-17 what happened when the Spirit came upon the Gentiles in Cornelius' household. That's what happened at Pentecost, was indeed the baptism by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul clarifies it: when one becomes a Christian, he is baptized into one body and the body of all believers in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. There are an awful lot of self-professed experts in regards to understanding the term baptism of the Holy Spirit. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit, and so at to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink." It's in this particular verse we discover that there are 4 points. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the unique work of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was unknown before Acts 2, before Pentecost. In truth, there was one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that took place at Pentecost. We can only share in the belief and benefit and the experience of that event. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the universal work of God. Every Christian who has ever lived, every person who has ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Third point is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an unrepeated work of Christ. You can't already have again what you already have now. You're saved once, that's it. When you give your life to Christ, you've given it. It's done. Going forward, your life will never be the same. You can only receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit once, which is as often as you are saved. There's so much discrepancy about this. Ephesians 4:4-5 reads, "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." The fourth point is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the unifying work of God. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, "As it is, there are many parts, but one body." To be the people of God. You see, before Pentecost, only the Jews were the people of God. Since Pentecost, the people of God know no racial, ethnic, gender, social boundaries. Galatians 3:26-28 reads, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you, all of you, were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." If we look at the speech, we see the aspect of the giving of the Holy Spirit is one of the most controversial and difficult to understand. It says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." The supernatural speech that took place on Pentecost was not unintelligible, ecstatic utterances. It was human speech, uttered in known human languages by people who could not speak that language before they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The 120 disciples of Jesus was given the ability to speak the languages of Jews and others who were in Jerusalem for Pentecost. The languages the disciples spoke were actual languages, demonstrated by the fact that the people of Jerusalem heard their language spoken, as demonstrated in verse 6 when they heard this sound. "The crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken." Pay close attention to this point this morning. Because it's not a miracle of hearing. It's not the fact that the people heard. It's a miracle of speaking. People speaking known human languages they've never learned. It was as if I were to go to the mission field in Africa and all of a sudden I would be able to speak the native tongue of the community that I would be in. Let's take this closer to home. My wife isn't Dutch. She's been told she's as close as she can get without being Dutch, but she's not Dutch. But if my wife was to fluently praise God in this church on a Sunday morning, speaking fluent Dutch, that is similar to what happened at Pentecost. The gift of tongues was to let people know the gospel is for the whole world. God wants to speak to every person in his or her own language and give that saving message, the salvation we have in Christ. The miracle of speaking in other tongues was due to the disciples being filled, not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 is clear that it reads, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues. Both the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit occurred at the same time at Pentecost. But follow this closely because the two are not the same thing. And here is how we can contrast the two. Let's look at them at a moment. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happens once at salvation. It's a past event. It's for every believer. It is never commanded. It places the believer in the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. Now let's look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. It happens throughout our Christian life. It is a present reality today. It is for those who are obedient believers. It is commanded in Ephesians 5:18, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. It enables those who are believers, all of us, to live our lives for Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the leader of our life. Most important thing to remember that the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are separate events with different purposes. The response to the coming of the Holy Spirit we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, and it's Luke lists 15 different places for where the pilgrims in Jerusalem had come. So there would be more than a dozen dialects spoken by the disciples and heard by the crowds. Verse 7 says, the crowds were amazed by those who were speaking were Galileans. You see, the Galileans, those who were speaking in tongues, were considered to be uneducated, backward, people compared to others who would be educated from other regions. They were these unrefined Jews from the backwaters of Galilee were speaking about the wonderful works of God in verse 11. It was a common occurrence, though, to hear the Jewish recite liturgy of how great and how God had enacted on behalf of his people. And the really wonderful thing at Pentecost is that everyone was able to hear it in their own language. I truly believe the main reason, and after spending time in studying these passages, is that God worked this miracle to jumpstart the missionary movement. When Pentecost crowds returned to their home cities and countries, they took with them the memory of this miracle, the testimony of God's works in their own language, and many of this crowd were part of the 3,000 who were saved when Peter preached the gospel. Then they took the gospel home with them as new believers, and the gospel would then spread throughout the Mediterranean and the Middle Eastern world as a result of this amazing miracle of speaking in other tongues. I think Bill Bright sums it up wonderfully when he says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with Christ. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Christ. Therefore, if I am filled with the Spirit, I am abiding in Christ. And if I am controlled and empowered by Christ, he will be walking around in my body, living his resurrection life in and through me. What a powerful statement. Then the crowds in Jerusalem, they responded with perplexity. Whatever could this mean? And yet they respond with mocking by saying that they were full of new wine. You see, a person who's drunk with wine is out of control, but a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit yields control of his or her life to God, the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, they were definitely out of control. They were speaking in other languages. They never learned as a result of the Holy Spirit being in control of their minds and wills. Peter, a man who was ashamed to be identified with Christ, 50 days earlier, stood up and he preached a fiery sermon. The apostles had all newfound courage to be persecuted for Christ as missionaries. They were not acting like themselves because they were filled not with new wine, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer, and I quote him often, he says, "One quality of the Holy Spirit that is of great interest and importance to every seeking heart is penetrability. He can penetrate matter, such as the human body. He can penetrate the mind. He can penetrate another spirit, such as the human spirit. He can achieve penetration of and the actual intermingling with the human spirit. He can invade the human heart. He can make room for himself without expelling anything essentially human. The integrity of the human personality remains the same. Only moral evil is forced to withdraw." Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. But we choose to live in his power or not. Christians should pray daily. They should be confessing their sins. They should be claiming God's forgiveness and then asking God to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that so we might live a supernatural life, that the day when we do that, when the church does that, we become empowered to share the good news of the gospel. And when we become the hands and feet of Jesus to our community, when we gather each week to pray and worship, we become equipped to go out and to do good works. Whether you and I do that, whether the church does that, the world will take notice, just as it did in Jerusalem at Pentecost. The filling of the Holy Spirit was the secret of this amazing power of the first century church. And it all started at Pentecost. Pentecost cannot be repeated. But you and I can duplicate its impact if we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and as we live in this world as witnesses for Christ. What an awesome calling we have. What an awesome duty. Thanks be to God for his wonderful gift. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we entrust ourselves to you. We acknowledge that this doesn't come easily. So we pray that we will go forth to follow the Spirit into the disciplines of personal prayer that challenges us to grow in our faith. Pray for strength to follow the Spirit into paths of service that widen our sense of neighborhood, to bear the burdens of those who hunger and those who are in pain. Pray, Father, to follow the Spirit into the dark places as bearers of light. As we labor to share the good news, bless us, O God. Give us all that we do. Give us all that we stand to do. We will do this for you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to please rise to receive the blessing. Receive the blessing. May the Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, giving you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the wonderful works of God. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.